You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like, landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his sideless knee, and he was talking to moccasin and Joe. Find a party they're gonna have. Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well,
hey, Tom.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you what I get today in today's times. You and I didn't talk or respond to people back in our time, but as they say, what's up, brother? What's up? I got
well, what's happened?
You know,
what's happened?
I don't care if they're PhDs. I don't care if they're barristers, attorneys. They all come up with that new phrase now. What's up, you know? And every time I give them a comeback, Bill, you'll enjoy this. I tell them, well, I think the sun is up, or depending on the time of the day, well, the moon is up. And then I sit there and give them a two-minute dissertation of, you know, when I used to answer a phone, I used to say, hi, how are you? It's so nice to hear your voice. How are things been? How's the family? Then they say to me, oh, well, Tom, don't you understand? What's up means all of that, and it's a lot less rhetoric. So maybe we should conform, Bill, to a lot less rhetoric and just say, what's up?
That's what we had to do.
What do you think, buddy?
I think it's a good idea.
You know, I got
two words.
What?
Two words.
Yeah, what's up? And I wonder how you spell that what's up part. I know how to spell up. How do you spell what's up?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they have several different ways.
I'm sure. You know, Bill, I got to tell you. Here it is, pre-Thanksgiving. I wonder how many people around the globe are going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving day. You know, what does Thanksgiving mean to you, Bill?
Well, it kind of means family.
Uh-huh.
Friends and family. And it's the time of the year we get together and we celebrate and be thankful for all the blessings and things that we've received throughout the year.
And who do we thank, Bill?
Of course, our good Lord.
Our good Lord. And I guess we kind of thank our fellow family members and friends, too, wouldn't you think?
Oh, of course.
Okay, all right. I just wanted to reiterate that a little bit because I want to thank, on behalf of you and I and our team members from the east to the west, from the north to the south here in the United States, across the globe, all around the globe, I want to wish everybody from you and I and our guys the ultimate Thanksgiving. And I'm going to reiterate on that, Bill, if I may. We have so much to be thankful for, not just our families and our friends, but for us to be on this side of the ground and to go on as long as we have with this radio show. Here it's been over 5 years, Bill. Could you imagine? And we're still going strong and getting stronger.
No.
Getting stronger. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, we had a little ditty up here, and I can't find it for the hell of me. I saw the link Bill sent.
Oh, it's on www.bigfootlive.com. Go to www.bigfootlive.com, and when you scroll down the center of the webpage, until you get where the show is, it'll tell you SFBI says Happy Thanksgiving, and underneath that there's a link. Push on that little link, and there's a little present there for everybody from Tom and the SFBI team.
On behalf of you and I and our team members.
Okay, I'm going to do it myself. Let me see if I'm privy to this stuff. All right, so I'm on the new link now. I'm on BigfootLive.com. As I go down the center, going straight down, I'm looking here. Oh, Nelly. Here we are. It's the smallest print in the center, folks. It says Bigfoot Live Radio Show, Happy Thanksgiving. And then it says, click to see the greeting. The smallest little printing is jib jab. So I'm going to print it myself. I'm going to click it myself. All right, here we go. Oh, there it is. Now, I saw this, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to click on it because in these caricatures is Rox Howdy Shell, me, TJ, Rob, Bill, and myself. And it's playing right now. It is cute as hell. And it's a little jib-jab ditty that, of course, Bill knows how to do best, commemorating Thanksgiving. Now, I don't know anything about this computer, folks, but I finally found it. There's a... We're on a little trolley there. Now, that's that was Rex hoeing the field and me and Rob harvesting the fruit. And now we're saying something. I don't know what. Our hands are up. And there's an Indian shooting an arrow, and we're at the feast table there with all that beautiful goodies, all that food. Wow. That's amazing, Bill. That's really something else. Maybe, you know, for the seeing impaired, who can't see too well, maybe we can put a Thanksgiving turkey or something up there that says, click the button. What do you think?
There will be. After the show, I'll put a button up there and also put it on Searching for Bigfoot.
That would be wonderful. Wow, that's great.
And Facebook.
So, thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you get the gist of this whole thing. It's just that, you know, the people who haven't, they don't know how to surf this site because it does get, listen, I just found the damn thing myself. I've been on the old site. Goes to show you. I've been busy, as you know, okay? So don't get too harsh on me. Wow, we got one hellacious show, and we're going to give a little thanks out to some friends on what we've discovered. It's later on in the show, ladies and gentlemen. You guys remember Richard Stubstadt and Scott Marlowe, our kind of resident cryptozoologists and quasi-scientists? Well, we got them with us tonight. And I got to tell you, we got some great news back from Richard, and we're going to get around a lot of the stories of the DNA. But before we do any of that, we're going to go out to the East Coast here and talk to my good buddy, my other boy, Rex Howdy Shell. You know, he was out there with us in Pennsylvania with Dr. Joe, and he took some pictures and stuff. Rex, you out there, son?
I sure am. I'm here.
You got to see this little ditty Marco did with us. Have you seen it yet? You're there with me.
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, I know it's a bitch to find. I need a magnifying glass to see it myself, but that's okay. We'll put it up there a little bit bigger so people can see it. First of all, how's the weather where you're at?
Well, it rained today, but
are they calling
it's not snowing,
snow tomorrow?
So that's good. It's supposed to be sunny tomorrow.
Oh, that's good. So you'll have a sunny Thanksgiving day. That's
cool and sunny, yes.
Tell us our story about when you first came out to see Joe.
Well, we met up in the parking lot there at his work, and then we took a hike out to the cornfield and then to the orchard. We were expecting apples at the orchard, but the apples were gone. They were there like 2 or 3 weeks before. And so and he was showing me the tree breaks that he found. There's lots of tree breaks. Mm-hmm. And he was showing me the stump where he had put the doll and the toy dinosaur and that, and it was matted down back there.
What did you actually think after you was there for a while and set up the cameras and everything? What was your conclusions, Rex?
My conclusion? The best evidence was his own stories. The tree breaks could have been tree breaks by Bigfoot, but I was wondering if they were done by a storm or multiple storms, wind storms and stuff, and snowstorms breaking trees. Although one curious thing is some of them were like, 3 or 4 inches diameter, broken 2 feet above the ground. That I found kind of curious. But my skeptical side of me says, well, it all could have been done by different snowstorms and windstorms. So they weren't totally conclusive to me. We didn't find any footprints. Whatever he had found earlier was too faint. And he already told you last week about the guardrails. I was kind of skeptical about the guardrails. I think there were car accidents and then machinery just straightening things out. So the guardrails weren't convincing to me, but that doesn't mean anything. I thought the area was rural, but kind of busy. I would not have expected Bigfoot to be there, but on the other hand, I would not have expected a lot of deer there. And I saw like 4 or 5 deer while I was there. And so, that's more than I've seen in the Sierra Mountains of California.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I didn't expect deer, and there were deer, and I don't expect Bigfoot, but he's seen Bigfoot, so...
Pretty convincing, isn't he?
Oh, he's positive. I know he believes that he's seen the creature.
Well, let me give you an update. You know, he came back from bear hunting, And he talked to me yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, okay.
And he saw the creature, not just the blog squatch. And he says, most definitely, it was a creature.
Cool.
And, he says that he is going to get us definite proof this time before we come out.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, listen, at least he's doing something. Remember
oh,
that,
sure.
Rex. We've been there before, haven't we?
I know.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, talked to Jabba Bob today. He told me to pass it on and say happy holidays to you.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
He says he'll never forget the day that you and I came up, drove those 8 hours to be there at the funeral with his daughter.
Right.
God rest her soul. She was one hell of a Janine, one hell of a gal.
She was.
A lot of people's memory. And I hope she's going to enjoy the holiday where she's going to be up there in heaven. Well, listen, you enjoy your wonderful holiday. And
you too.
I'll be in touch with you real soon, son.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, and thanks for being on with us.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
ladies
bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Rex Howdy Shell. He's like my own son. The man is incredible, okay? Fearless. I call him Fearless whenever we hook up now. This man gets out there amongst it all and doesn't care about nothing. He just goes forward. You know what? We got to get to a real quick commercial. Bill, do your thing.
Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And here we are, Tom.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, before I forget, talk to Sharon Lee, the Bigfoot field reporter. She has her her blog, and she wasn't aware of us winning at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival, and she says, I told everybody. I told them so. I said, what'd you tell them, Sharon? She says, the movie was incredible. She says they need to see it. They need to buy it. So she put something on her blog and shows that we won at the Pocono Mountains Film Festival. And she herself has said you need to get out there and buy it, ladies and gentlemen. You know, can we all be wrong when four universities and 12 independent reviewers see our work and they say, oh, my God, you've won once again? Something must be happening the right way, isn't it? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go out and get it. And if you don't like me, go out and get it and give it to somebody you don't like. That would be a great Christmas gift. I got to tell you this. I got some great news from our next guest. Our next guest is Richard Stubstead. Ladies and gentlemen, you've seen him in the news all around the WWW, the Wide World Web. He's been the thorn in what's her name? Isn't it amazing how you forget their names? Melba Ketchum. She's the horse doctor. Not a horse doctor. They call him something else, Bill. Veterinarian that's got 19 complaints against her with the BBB and took us for our money and a bunch of other people, too, and won't give our stuff back. Well, this guy, Richard Stubstead, he was with me. He's a pioneer with me, okay? It was our money. It was our time that brought this stuff to Timpson, Texas, to meet her and get this stuff done. Well, he's starting his own, okay, study on the DNA, and he's become quite an aficionado himself. A couple of months back, he says, "Tom, would you give me some samples that you got? We're gathering a bunch of them." And I said, "Okay, I would, because I trust the man." I get a call from him yesterday or the day before. I forget time, ladies and gentlemen, so forgive me. And he says, "Well, I got some good news for you." I said, "What's that, Richie?" I call him Richie, and I love him for it. He's kind of part of our family, folks. And he says, "Well, it came back. That looks like we got the real deal here." Without any further ado, I want to get my good buddy Richie Substead on the phone. Richie, there?
I am here. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm doing good, good buddy. I'm sure you heard what I had to say, and it's all the truth. And by the way, before I get any further into our sample and the other samples that you've gathered, and you're putting them all together here, somebody sent me a picture of Melba, and it looks like she's lost 100 pounds and has had a remake. Have you seen these glamour shots she's got out there?
Yeah, I have a feeling they're a little bit outdated, let's just say, but maybe, who knows?
Well, I was shocked, okay, and how it was sent to me was that, hey, you got to see this. Looks like she lost over 100 pounds, and it looks like she either got a facelift or some glamour work done to her. And it didn't even look like her, but I could still see the, you know, some facts similar to her.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd bring that up to you. Well, listen, I want you to tell my listeners around the globe here, and by the way, I've got my other good buddy on the phone, which I think that you need a lot of working to somebody to talk with. I don't know how well you know Scott. As a matter of fact, I'll put him on while we're talking, if you don't mind. Scott, are you out there?
I'm here.
Good. Have you met Scott? Have you met Richard Stubbset?
No.
Okay. Richie, this guy is like my family, okay? This guy... Scott Marlowe. He's straight up. He's no bullshit. And let me tell you something. He knows more, in my opinion, knows more than a lot of these anthropologists and these DNA operators, okay? But well, I first want you to tell everybody, Rich, about when you made that call to me a day or two ago. Because you made me feel like $1 million. Why don't you tell everybody what you said to me?
Okay, I mean, it wasn't quite the way you said it, but what I said was...
Tell everybody, because I'm a bullshit artist, remember?
I said that we went through a screening process or a vetting process of the samples that have been sent to us, and this one was examined in a microscope, and some of the hair had follicles on the ends, and it looked good, and the characteristics of the hair appear to be what matches up with what's typically thought to be Sasquatch hair. Now, having said that, we haven't done any DNA testing, so I wouldn't say that it's 100% certain, the way you put it, that it's Sasquatch, but I would just say that it appears to be. So it's a past the vetting process, and now we're going to the next step with it to try to get the DNA tested.
Okay, and so let me see if I understand this right. So.
Yeah.
The samples that I've submitted to you to assist you in your next level of investigation to outdo a lot of these other flakes, not saying that you're a flake, you're a good guy.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. It's just a true story, because a lot of people don't even know that you and I, along with JB and what was that girl's name? Shannon Sylvia. The four of us was the ones that pioneered this thing in the beginning. And, oh, by the way, I want to tell you, because Sharon Lee is going to post it on her website, the archived show, when we had Melba Ketchum on our show, when I asked the world that if you have any type of samples, because I really believed in her then, that send them to her for analyzation. Well, of course, a lot of people sent a lot of stuff to her, and, you know, we never got a gratitude or a thanks or anything out of this damn thing. But people don't know, Richard, that We were the four people that started this whole thing off with her. Now, am I wrong there, too, by the way?
No, yeah, that's correct.
That's correct.
Okay.
Please stop me when you think I'm not correct, because far be it from me, I don't want to say anything that's wrong now, okay?
Yeah, the first sample that you had brought over there was that toenail, among other samples. And the toenail, we checked it out, and it in my view, it checked out to be a Sasquatch. And on the mitochondrial side, it was within human ranges, but it was a very unusual sequence. And I posted that stuff on my website. But basically, there's no doubt. Well, I'm 97% sure, to be exact, that is a Sasquatch. That toenail's from a Sasquatch.
And by the way, what do you think the story is about the hand of unknown origin that we've never received?
Well, my understanding is that she still has it, and that someday she's going to test it, and she's just got it, and she's sitting there. But she thinks it's a bear, and I saw on the internet somebody else analyzed it, and they thought it was a bear. Meldrum thought it was a bear, so I suppose it's a bear. So if she someday comes up and tests it and says, okay, it's a bear, then I owe her a $2 bill because we had a $2 bet on it.
What about the jawbone and teeth of the skeleton?
No idea. No idea. All I know is that she looked at the picture that you had on the internet, and she thought that was too thin and too, too too long and thin to be a Sasquatch. And she thought it was just a tall American Indian.
But, well, you know what bothers me? If she doesn't believe that any of that stuff, because when I got the results back, as you know, as you got the same results as I got from all five samples, which said what, Richard?
You mean the five samples that you brought in?
That's correct.
Yeah, the two hair samples, she determined, or somebody determined, they were from ordinary animals. The hand of unknown origin, we have this outstanding $2 bet, and I don't know. If I won or lost, I imagine I lost, but I don't know. And the bone, the bone fragment or the jaw fragment, my guess, I mean, I've looked at those pictures, and I wouldn't exclude the possibility that it's a Sasquatch. So I think the jury's still out on that one, and the toenail, to me, checked out to be a Sasquatch.
Okay. And what about the nail?
You mean the toenail?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's that one. That one we did test, and I believe in the meantime she's tested the nuclear DNA as well, and I'm sure that that's a Sasquatch, but I don't have any more data than you have, so it was just very strange that it matched up with one other set of data we had from a different researcher, and it matched up so that I was just 97% sure that both of them were Sasquatch, because you guys couldn't have hoped that. It's not fun. It's just so remotely impossible that you couldn't have done it.
Okay. You know, I'm going to read this, and this is the report of DNA testing from the DNA Diagnostics Incorporated on her letterhead laboratories, okay, in Shelterwood Laboratories, it's called. It says number three, because number three is the fingernail. She puts fingernail, which is actually a toenail, ladies and gentlemen, from AZ site. Sample number three was of good quality and quantity and was obtained in a way that made any human contamination from a source other than the nail highly unlikely. Since the DNA was of good quality and quantity, a decision was made to sequence the entire mitochondrial genome. The determination was that the individual was of European descent with a haplotype of H10, whatever the hell that means. All SNPs in the entire genome were also individually blasted and were all found in modern humans. Therefore, the nail is a modern European human or origin. What do you say to that?
I think that was a trick because the mitochondrial tested out of European origin, but what she doesn't mention is it's from 15 to 20,000 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, the mitochondrial Eve of that creature lived in southern Europe 15 to 20,000 years ago, or maybe even 30,000 years ago, I don't know, and gave birth to the youngsters and so forth and so on, and eventually here comes this creature that I believe is a Sasquatch, even though all sequences in that specimen except two out of the 16,000 or so are found in human beings. But, I mean, all but 10 of them are found in chimpanzees, too, so it really doesn't say anything. Yeah, it's got human origins, so that just means Sasquatch, to me, is partly or very close to us genetically.
And I'm glad you said that, Richie, okay?
Yeah.
Now, at this point in time, I want to bring in, since he's here with us, my good friend, like a brother, Scott Marlowe. Scott, did you hear what he had to say?
I did.
Did you hear what she had analyzed and wrote on paper?
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
What do you have to say about this? What's your contributions to this?
I don't agree with either.
Okay. Explain. Why?
Well, for one thing, she's focusing on specific areas, and it may be enough to make some determinations, but there's ample evidence that Europeans, particularly Northern Europeans, were in the Americas way before modern science wants to state that they were here. 20,000 years is stretching it, but then take a look at Kennewick Man. You know, as far as saying anything is Sasquatch, until you've got a Sasquatch genome, you can't make that statement. You can say that it is not this and not that and not this and infer that it may be an unknown animal, but you can't say it's definitely anything.
Okay. All right. So what do you believe that she's trying to do? What is she trying to put off here?
Oh, I don't know what she's trying to do other than establish that she's got some credibility in doing the research that she's doing, which is fine. But, you know, until she produces academic credentials, she really is not accomplishing much of anything.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Scott. What do you consider this woman? She's a horse doctor? Is she a shark?
Well, I mean, that's her profession. She's a veterinary.
Okay.
Grant, they work with animals. That doesn't necessarily mean that they can't do anthropological work. Veterinaries frequently work with chimpanzees, but and gorillas and otherwise. But to pronounce herself capable and credible for doing human-based research, I don't know that that's a fact. And I have not seen any evidence yet that it is a fact.
So do you think that these so-called peer papers, are they being reviewed? Do you think we'll ever see anything from it, from credible?
Well, first of all, you got to understand what review is. I mean, I've gotten into an argument with one radio host over what constitutes peer review and what that radio host is describing as peer review, which is having a bunch of people take a look at an article that are in the know before it's published in order to determine whether it's worthy of publication, is not scientific peer review. That's academic peer review. And they're two different things. Scientific peer review is ongoing. Academic peer review takes place before publication and is over upon publication. So to state that the kind of work that she's doing is going to get reviewed by a bunch of editors to determine whether it's worthy of being published, that's BS. And to sell that as being peer reviewed to the public is misleading. And that's one of the things I got a problem with all this stuff. You've got so many people out there who don't know diddly squat about what's going on, pronouncing it's this, it's that, and the other thing, and all it amounts to is misinformation and disinformation that confuses the public and confuses the situation.
Well put. Well put. So you think any of this will be published besides...
Well, I'm sure it's going to be published. That's the ultimate aim. Whether or not she actually issues a paper, if they're doing an academic peer review, if anybody has an objection, they're going to throw the paper back at her. She's either going to edit it and make it conform to what the editor wants and publish it in order to get it published, or it's not going to get published. So, I mean, she's got an out any way you cut it. She can simply say, well, I've decided not to redo it, or, you know, or didn't pass peer review, or what have you. But whatever the results are, the scientific community is going to look at it for a long time and quibble about what her findings are. And a lot of it is going to depend upon her credentials.
Well,
I mean, take a look at what went on with the Hobbit skull. First it's a completely new animal. Then maybe it's Homo erectus. Then maybe it has genetic disease. I don't want to get into all of those $20 words. It's not real. It's an infant. This is what goes on when you go through scientific peer review, and after it stood the test of time, it becomes an accepted fact. But there are examples of, quote, human skeletons, unquote, like the Mungo Man, that don't fit the anthropological norms.
Okay, so wait a minute.
I.e. out of Africa.
Okay, yeah. And I follow you. But here's the thing that I'm having trouble with right now. So you're telling me, academically, you can come out and say whatever the hell you want to say. But when
as long as a group of peers... Yeah, go ahead.
There's two parts of this. Then, scientifically, it's an ongoing situation. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. The academic peer review that they're talking about right now is, in my opinion, nothing more than an editorial review prior to publication.
No,
it does not in any way, shape, or form guarantee the work is quality.
That's right. So, in other words, I got a piece of gold in my hand, okay?
Yep.
You look at it, and I look at it. Well, it's gold. It looks gold until we test it to find out what degree of gold, whether it be 10 carat, 14, 18, or 24, we don't know until the pro, the expert, the gemologist, takes the test to tell us what it is. Is that what we're kind of talking about here?
Well, it wouldn't be a gemologist because gold is not considered a gem. It's a mineral. But, I know what you're trying to say, and what you're trying to say is correct.
Okay. So who gives this woman the right, since she's a veterinarian, that all of a sudden she's the new goddess on the planet that's doing this DNA work?
Well, the publication that she's submitting to, of course.
But she's merely an academic, though, if I understand this correctly.
Well, she's a veterinary. So, her word may be gold when she's talking about a thoroughbred racehorse, but, when she's talking about human genetics and evolutionary science and the kinds of things she's trying to sell as revolutionary science, that's a different story.
Wow. I'm glad that you just, in my eyes anyway, okay, showed me the difference between apples and oranges. Hold on now. Richie? You agree with what Scott says?
Yeah, as far as it went, I mean, but in my part of the conversation, if I had only seen the mitochondrial sequence come out of that creature or that whatever that toenail came from Arizona, I would have concluded this is a Homo sapiens. That's it. However, you know me, I like to connect the dots. So I just said, well, wait a minute, let's just see what happens. And then sample two rolls in, which was from the northeast rather than the southwest. And lo and behold, it had the same mitochondrial origins, which is in northern European. It was actually subglacial Europe during the peak of the Wisconsin glacial advance. And those such individuals in the world exist, not with exactly the same sequencing that either one of those samples had, and to match them up that well through a hoax or through a mistake would be highly unlikely. So I just made a statistical analysis and said that the odds are 97% that these things are from the same mitochondrial Eve, and that they're matched in some way that has to make more sense than just random sampling of Homo sapiens in North America. Then I said, that's not proof. Scott is right. That's not proof. Then I said to Melba, we got to go and test the nuclear genome because that will tell you the current creature and not its mitochondrial or female origins 15,000 years ago. It will tell you what it is today. And she went ahead and did that on both, to my knowledge, sample one and two, and up to 18 more samples, by the way. But I don't have the data. So all I did, all that happened is I said, this is worth investigating further. We don't have proof. God is right. We don't have proof. But you have to do more testing. So then she says, oh, my goodness, And then I basically never heard from her again.
What do you think of that, Scott?
Well, I mean, that either shows lack of funding or lack of knowledge.
Oh, she's got funding.
I love both you guys. I really
She has funding right now up the gee.
Did you hear that, Scott?
Yeah, but I also bristle when I hear these stories coming from people saying, "Well, I gave her $7,000, and I gave her $10,000, and I financed this thing for $5." That's absolute idiocy. I could take a sample to any qualified university laboratory to do that kind of microbiology analysis, and it would cost at most $700 to $1,000.
Yeah, Scott, that's right, but it costs a lot more to do the nuclear genome.
Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Well, it depends on who's doing it and the equipment they have.
Well, she's trying to do the whole nuclear genome, and she's not doing it there. She sends all of it out. None of it is done in her lab. She doesn't have the facilities to do whole genomes. So she sends
and that conflicts with some other – if you're talking about Ms. Ketchum – That conflicts with information that I've been given, saying that everything she's doing is being done manually, which sends up red flags all over the place for me.
It's not being done manually. Almost nothing is. It's all being
done. Yeah, I would think it would be darn near impossible to do it manually because the time involved is absolutely incredible.
No, on Tommy's specimen of the toenail, it was sent out to another lab and. We had the sequencing, and I was helping her analyze the data. I'm not doing it as a geneticist, just as a statistician, basically.
Yep.
And I said, this is odd enough to go further and test the nuclear genome. Especially
sure.
Since it matched up with sample two, and I saw...
Well, and you've got another issue there, too.
What's that?
Okay? If you're dealing with a creature that is not in GenBank... Okay? The you can't make any pronouncement whatsoever other than it is closely related to.
No, I know. You got to remember, though, that this connecting the dots job involves a lot more than what you've just heard. I'm just talking
Well, connecting the dots, unfortunately, can sometimes mean supposition and assumptions.
It may be, but still, I mean... Let me finish. Okay?
And unfortunately, assumptions can leave you with egg on your face. So,
It may do. But if you don't mind, I'll finish here. So sample two, which did not come from Biscardi, it was from another researcher. I happened to have the privilege of seeing some footage of a camcorder of the actual creature. And I don't know. It could be hoax, but it looks like a Sasquatch. Also, I went up to the cabin where that toenail was found and talked to the man who found it, and he showed me a lot of his snapshots. I found two footprints up there myself that were about, 18 inches long with five toes, and I saw lots of pictures of footprints in the snow. So this isn't exactly just a shot in the dark. Absolutely.
No, but everything that you've told me is supporting evidence. Granted, it's it can be evidentiary, but it's circumstantial. Now, that said, if people go to death row on circumstantial evidence, but you're still making an assumption because there's no direct connection to the artifact.
That's why I said 97%. I'm making an assumption. And I didn't say that that was proof. I said that it's worth testing the nuclear genome because that will tell you something about both the male and female origins of the creature.
Yes.
No, fellas,
no, I understand what you're saying.
This is getting more interesting as we go on. But I'm leaving the rest of the show out, and I've got a lot more guests. Happy holidays to both of you guys. I love both of you. Let's leave it for another day to be determined. Thanks for your support. Just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show ahead of us. Thanks again.
All right. Take care, Tom.
Thank you, both of you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
My heart. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Richie Substead, great guy. Scott Marlowe, guy's impeccable. I don't care what anybody says. Without any further ado, let's get down there to Mississippi and talk to Theron. And Theron and his mom has had some encounters lately, and lately.
We've got Richard. We've got three more guests. Got Richard,
all right, Dawson.
And we got Rocky on the line as well.
Rocky is just listening, I heard. But nevertheless, Theron, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
Okay, I am.
Okay, great. Tell us what happened. Now, hear about two new encounters that your mom just had by her house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty exciting. It was last Friday in broad daylight, about 9:30 in the morning. I didn't get to learn about this till Saturday. And the story is my 2-year-old niece was looking out the window, and she became very excited and pointing out the window. And my mother, who sits on a wheelchair, went over by the window, and she saw this huge, what she described it in Choctaw was, in the Choctaw language, it was huge, and it was hairy
was it big?
Was dirty, it buffed dirty up? Looking, you know?
Yeah. Did it have a neck, Theron?
I asked her what it looked like, and she said that it was walking away. It was only yards from, it was passing the house, only yards from the house. It was walking right by the driveway of the house, you know, and my niece saw it, and that will be her third sighting, and she said it looked dirty and unkempt, and that's about the several sightings that are around my mama's house. And the thing is, there's a 300-acre lake, and plus there's a water park and a high school right there, and there's houses all around, and here this creature is walking through the neighborhood, you know, and all they saw was this big huge creature just cutting through the yard, and you know, went across and walked into a thicket, into a small group of
Has anybody gotten a picture of this thing as many times as you guys have seen it?
I don't think so.
Even on a phone, you know, a phone, all the phones, these portable phones, cell phones today have pictures on it. Cameras, you know, cameras.
Yeah, that's right. It was described it to me. There was my niece, my 2-year-old niece that saw it, and then my mother saw it, and then my niece, who's my 2-year-old niece's great niece's mother, saw it from the window. And
now you live on a rez out there?
Yeah, on the reservation, yeah.
This is Choctaw?
Choctaw Reservation, yeah.
Well, guess what?
What's that?
All I need is an invitation from you, because I haven't been on the Choctaw Reservation. And
well, yeah.
you're gonna have a visit from Tom Biscardi and his crew.
All right.
Would you like that, Theron?
I would like that, you know.
Okay.
I sure would like that sometimes, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I'm gonna come out there.
All right.
All right. You know, we're coming. We're gonna leave where we're at now. We're gonna be going to Arkansas.
Uh-huh.
Because we got some hot stuff going on. You know, the next step, the state down below there is Mississippi.
Yeah.
So we might as well just make a little jump down there to see you. Are we welcome?
Yeah, you're welcome to come down here. It's a place called Choctaw, Mississippi, and it's just outside of Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Are you on the roll?
Yes, I am.
Oh, then you're a good one. I like people who are on the roll. All right, fantastic. Theron?
The other thing is, it was the sighting occurred 9:30 in the morning, and about 9:30 that night, my sister was coming to my mama's house driving, and she saw a group of deer in the line of her headlights. And
let me tell you, I haven't heard the story.
It walked right in front
of her. Yeah, yeah. And then one of the creatures walked right behind trying to get one of the deer.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
I don't know, but she said that, this is her word, she said it stepped right in front of her, and she almost hit it.
There you go. There you go. And that's indicative all around the country, not just there, Theron. And listen, I got two more guests to get in here, and everybody says I can't do it, but I'm going to do it. Have a great turkey day tomorrow. Let everybody know on the res the Bigfoot Hunter's coming out there.
Okay. Yeah.
All right?
Yeah, I'll try to get the Neshoba Democrat, which is our town newspaper.
You tell them Tom Biscardi and his crews are coming. All right?
All righty.
God bless you. Have a great turkey day. Just mute yourself out. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Theron. We're going to go out there and find out exactly what the hell's going on. Without any further ado, let's get out to New York and talk to Richard. How you doing, Richard? Is Richard on?
Yes, I'm right here, Tom.
How are you, buddy?
Good, Thomas. How are you?
I'm well, and God bless you, man. I can't believe the sightings and the things that are going on back over there by you right now. Holy mackerel.
It's unbelievable, Tom.
I know it. And you know what? You're a hop, skip, and a jump away, and we're going to come back out there ourselves to come see you, too. We know the holidays got this little bit of a seasons in here and it's messing things up, but that's okay. So tell everybody the pictures that you just sent me real quickly.
Real quickly. There's a I'd say it's a very young Sasquatch holding a doll, and I'm pretty sure that they made it. Okay?
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, where I go, there's a whole bunch of white ones, but I can't understand what's going on, Tom. It's beyond my comprehension.
Well, let me tell you what I think it is real briefly, because I'm going to have to go to the next guest, and forgive me for this. We'll have you on the following week or so and add to it. They're trying to give you, I don't know if you've given them any type of offerings. Have you done that?
I took a couple apples a couple days ago.
In return, they trying to give something back to you. And that's what's been kind of indicative to everything that I've ever done or seen in the past. Keep it up. Keep me informed. We love you. We're coming out to see you. Happy holidays.
I'm going to send you a bunch of pictures and email after the holiday, okay?
God bless you, brother. Thank you so much.
You too.
That was Richard out there in upstate New York, ladies and gentlemen. Now we're going to go to Arkansas. My brother, Jim Dawson. Jimmy, you out there? Hello, Jim.
Jim, you're going to have to. Jim, you're going to have to turn your computer sound down. It's reverberating back to
completely.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. Real quickly, you've got a minute and a half. Tell everybody about these tree formations that were just found.
Yes, JD and I were driving down the road 2 days ago, and we found the last link on there. It says most recent, I believe, on your website, the Big X formation. That's been up 2 or 3 days. We have a lot of tree formations. We also have tree knocking. We have vocalizations. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. I also checked the guy's location down in Choctaw, Mississippi. He's 4 hours from here.
Oh, my God. So, don't tell me that because you know what's going to happen because you know I'm coming to see you, brother.
Well,
by the way,
I'm ready for you, buddy.
That's right. Bill and what's the other woman's name? Esther?
Yes.
Okay. Tell her we're coming. All right, listen, God bless you. Have a great holiday season. And is my brother from another mother from Arkansas on the line? And that's Yellow Butter himself. Are you there, Yellow Butter?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good.
I got your pictures. Yahoo, I brought you luck, son, because you've seen how many deer you got. Did you get any more after that?
No, we got them all cut up and ready to go in the oven.
Good. All right. Well, look here. You take care. You heard the show earlier at the top of the hour. We love you. Have a happy turkey day. And you know where we're going to be seeing you there in Arkansas with the rest of the crew. God bless you, my brother.
You too, Tom.
Take care. To everybody that's within the range of hearing our words, happy Thanksgiving from Marco, Bill, myself, and our complete crew. And I want to thank each and every one of you. Kudos and salutations. And Miss Calabash, I'm a coming. Bye.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Mason Mystery.